Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Today, I want to talk about what the life of a Christian truly looks like. Both our Old Testament lesson and our epistle lesson show us very clearly that there is a distinction between the Christian and the non-Christian. The Christian is not called to live the same life as the non-Christian. They have been called out of the way of darkness. We have been called to live rather in the light. And so as we look at our proverb, Proverbs 4, these words immediately jump out at us. I have taught you the way of wisdom. I have led you in the paths of uprightness. Keep hold of instruction. Do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of the evil. Avoid it. Do not go on it. Turn away from it and pass on. For they cannot sleep unless they have done wrong. They are robbed of sleep unless they have made someone stumble. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. We have many things in our church that assist in the teaching of the faith. We have the divine service in which we have the proclamation of the gospel in the sermon. But as you know, I like to try to teach in the sermon as well. We have our Sunday school, which for years serves as instruction. We also have a catechesis program. The rite of confirmation usually finishes that up. But if we think that that is enough to stay a child in the faith when he grows, I think we're mistaken. So many things surround them to tear at them, to try to drag them into the paths of darkness. And if we spend but 1 hour out of the entire week with our children in instruction, they are being taught by countless hours out of the faith. Keep hold of instruction. Do not let go. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of the evil. Avoid it. Do not go on it. Turn away from it and pass on. Proverbs also tells us in chapter 22, train up a child in the way he shall go, and when he is old, he shall not depart from it. Is that truly the case? I would say if we truly invest in our children and they are elected by God to be with him for eternity, then absolutely that is the case. But if we spend just that 1 hour allowing other people to instruct our children in the faith and do nothing to follow up on it, then we do not lead them on the paths of righteousness. The world is dark, and many of the things out in that world seek to create darkness in your children, in your grandchildren, in you. The church is but only an hour a week, and many people don't even come every week. Think about how much darkness is out there, seeking to devour you. The devil prowls around like a lion, seeking those whom he may devour. But on the other side, we have the path of righteousness. But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. My son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and healing to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. You'll notice in your bulletins this week, I've started a new thing called the Congregation at Prayer. It is designed to give you a daily devotion to use in your own homes. Understanding that 1 hour a week, and that is only if you come each week, is not enough to stand against the overwhelming tsunami of the devil, the world, and your sinful flesh. Be in God's word every single day. Meditate on it. Read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest it, that it becomes a part of who you are. For you have been called a Christian. God has taken you out of the world, placed you through the waters of holy baptism, placed his own name on you, and said, you are a child of light. Now live in that light. We are called to be in God's word. We are called to join our brothers and sisters in Christ each and every week in his holy sanctuary to live out that life. Keep it springing from your heart, that the word of God finds its root there. Otherwise, your heart will follow the desires of the flesh, of which St. Paul writes to the Galatians in our epistle lesson. He says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things that you want to do." You have two basic things living inside of you. First is the old Adam given to you, inherited from Adam's fall into sin. We call this original sin. But through the power of holy baptism, you also have the new man, the new Christ living in you. The flesh desires that which God has not given. The Spirit desires that which God has. I know that you have felt that turmoil at times. Often the youthful lusts that we have seek to devour that faith. So often in high school, in college, that age, the desires of the flesh are encouraged. We have young people who are taught that marriage isn't important. Rather, we have a hookup culture, that you should live together instead of getting married. Try that out for a while and see if it really fits. If it doesn't work out, it means you weren't really in love. And if you're not really in love, then you should end it. Well, that is not what God has called. God has called for monogamy. God has called for a one-flesh union for life. The devil and our sinful flesh seek to devour the seed of faith that you have. They seek to snuff out the light. Hide it under a bushel? No. Set your light on a lampstand that it may shine forth into a world that is dark. Let your faith shine forth. He goes on to say, "But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident," and he gives a long list. "Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like." Again, these desires of the flesh are real. And if we do not listen to the Spirit of God, they will overpower us. Our current culture tells young men that it's good to devour what is given on the internet, that it doesn't matter that that woman does not belong to him. But God has called them to monogamy, one wife for life. The desires of the flesh can be wicked. God has given us the marriage bed. It is a great joy. It is for companionship. It is for the procreation of children, to bring up more Christians into our world. Idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger. I'm going to be honest, I get fits of anger whenever I read the news. And so, in order not to fall into sin, I try not to read the news. Now, there is such a thing as a zealous anger, a righteous anger. Jesus expresses this in the temple when he throws out the temple changers. But if we let that anger build in us so much that it causes someone else harm, or even our own selves, we are following the desires of the flesh. Drunkenness. God has given us alcohol. We use alcohol in the sacrament of the altar. Jesus Christ turned water into wine, and at his Last Supper, he used wine to give his blood. So alcohol, and in general, is not sinful. But those who use it to excess gratify their flesh rather than the things of God. He says, "I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." Your flesh desires your damnation. I don't know if you've ever read the book, The Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis, but if you haven't, I encourage you to. I'm going to read just a few portions of it tonight. C.S. Lewis writes this book from a perspective of a demon writing to his nephew, a lesser demon, in order to try to provoke what he calls the patient into sin. Now, it's satire. C.S. Lewis is a good Christian man at this point, no longer an atheist, but he points out how demons try to work in the life of God's children to seek their damnation. He writes, "My dear Wormwood, you mentioned casually in your last letter that the patient has continued to attend one church, and one only, since he was converted, that he is not wholly pleased with it. May I ask what you are about? Why have I no report on the causes of his fidelity to the parish church? Do you realize that unless it is due to indifference, it is a very bad thing? Surely you know that if a man can't be cured of church going, the next best thing is to send him all over the neighborhood looking for the church that suits him until he becomes a taster or connoisseur of churches." He recognizes that church, worship and devotion to the one true God, is not good for their cause. He seeks damnation. Later on, he goes to explain, "The enemy," which is the word he uses for God, "demand on humans takes the form of a dilemma, either complete abstinence or unmitigated monogamy. Ever since our father's first great victory, that is the fall, where he commits Eve to eat the fruit and then her husband as well, ever since our father's first great victory, we have rendered the former very difficult to them," that is abstinence. "The latter, for the last few centuries, we have been closing up as a way of escape. We have done this through the poets and novelists by persuading the humans that a curious and usually short-lived experience, which they call being in love, is the only respectable ground for marriage. That marriage can and ought to render this excitement permanent, and that a marriage which does not do so is no longer binding. Our world has fallen out of love with God's creation of marriage." Later we read, "After this man has found a Christian woman, I have looked up this girl's dossier and I am horrified at what I find. Not only a Christian, but such a Christian, a vile, sneaking, simpering, demure, monosyllabic, mouse-like, watery, insignificant, virginal, bread-and-butter miss. The little brute, she makes me vomit. She stinks and scalds through the very pages of the dossier." The demon has recognized that the woman that he has found, or rather that God has given him, is not a woman who does not take her faith seriously, but a devout Christian. It is long past the time that we guard our children from marrying non-Christians. We must encourage them to find a God-given spouse that will encourage their faith, that will be a part of their faith, that will be a part of their walk with God, that will attend service with them each and every week, building up their faith both at church and at the home. God desires his children to live separate from non-Christians. You have been called to greater things. I want to reach back to our entrance song. "Behold our shield, O God. Look on the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than a thousand elsewhere. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, faints for the courts of the Lord. Blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness." We know where God's eternal dwelling place is. The new heavens and the new earth will be our living station for eternity if we die in the faith. But for now, we also know where his dwelling place is here on earth. And we know that a day in his courts, a day where we may come together with brothers and sisters to worship God, is better than a thousand elsewhere. Out there, you have dismay, you have anger, you have hurt. But in the walls of this sanctuary, God proclaims to you that your sins have been nailed to the cross of his Son, that your sins are forgiven, and that you are to go out there and sin no more, but dwell in his house, dwell in his love, receive his sacraments, the body and blood of Jesus given and shed for you. Blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. There is still a large concern in our communities, in our world, but I tell you this day, do not be afraid. The same message I have told you for months, do not be afraid. Take they your life. Goods, fame, child, and wife, though these all be gone, they yet have nothing won. The kingdom ours remaineth. Come to the Lord's house. Seek his gifts. Seek him where he may be found. For even an hour in his court is better than 1,000 elsewhere. This house, with those a part of your spiritual family, is where God desires you to be. Overcome fear. Seek his house. Come here each and every week as he bids you to, and receive his blessings. And the church sings, preserve thy word, ere pure and free, from this vile generation, and keep us subject unto thee, safe from their infiltration. The godless everywhere abound, where'er such wicked men are found, exalted midst thy people. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.